Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's Morning Show. Hello, Friday. Oh, my God. You look gorgeous today.
All right.
Ooh.
What?
All right. Let's look at the trash brought to you by the Johnny Mosley Pod. Mm. If you're V-Hale, Johnny Mosley's a skier. Won a gold medal. Hosted SNL. Local hero. Make sure you listen to the Johnny Mosley Pod on radio.com. New episodes drop on Wednesdays.
So was she like, what's that all about? Is that single?
She didn't ask that. Let me see what she wrote exactly. She said, wait, who the F is Johnny Mosley? It was very direct.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We'll talk about that tonight on the happy hour, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, we should get Johnny Mosley to jump on the happy hour. That'd be really funny. Let's reach out to him. He wouldn't possibly be busy on a Friday night. He's got two kids and a wife. And no one's going anywhere. All right. So let's start with some TV this weekend. This is the only thing I really want to mention. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m., NBC. It's SNL. Timothy Chalamet is hosting.
Oh, I love him.
And Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band are the musical guests.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I know. Wow.
So it should be a pretty good
Bruce show.
Yeah. There was a guy, there's a late woman, actually. I don't know her name. One of the new players. I don't know all their names on Saturday Night Live. They had done some bit or other, and she was she played Timothy Chalamet like in like a fashion segment because he's always wearing just sort of like the like a weird, it's a blazer, but not really. And he's, you know, so she was doing like his style and she kind of nailed it. So I'm sure there'll be a little of that. I'm looking forward to it. Saturday Night Live, Timothy Chalamet is the host. I think his next big film is Dune. I'm not sure when that's coming out, but I'm looking forward to it. Ellen DeGeneres, she's got the Rona.
Oh, wow, really?
Rona. Yeah. And everyone who's been in person on her show has been notified. She tested positive for COVID-19. She made the announcement on Twitter yesterday saying, fortunately, I'm feeling fine right now. Anyone who's been in close contact with me has been notified, and I'm following all proper CDC guidelines. See you again after the holidays. Please stay healthy and safe. Love, Ellen. So I assume that the people she's been in close contact with include, I don't watch the show. I haven't seen it. I don't know how far apart she is from her guests or what safety precautions. Like, does she meet with them in their guest room beforehand, their dressing room?
I haven't seen her at all. I've seen more of Drew Barrymore just because she's whatever channel news in the morning my wife watches, Drew's on after that, and
how
I see her for a second.
How's she going?
She does a lot of the screen interviews.
Oh, mostly Zoom stuff?
Yeah, that I've seen. I mean, I don't... The show's not for me.
Right.
But I do see what she's up to, and she seems to be doing okay.
Right.
She's still showing up for work.
Right.
So...
that's good news.
Well, I feel like, you know, a star of that size who's already got plenty of money
all
could
money
easily go,
needs.
I guess this just isn't for me. It's not fun.
Well,
like
it's only the first season of it, right? I mean, she's probably contractually.
Yeah, the first season during a coronavirus has to be really hard.
A nightmare. Like, I already think, I will give it to you. If you're a good talk show host and you have a successful talk show, that is a major accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
That seems incredibly taxing. I don't know what other word to use. I would be exhausted after one. Like, I'm never doing that again. Damn, I got one down. That's it. I'm done. I'm out. Tap out. So if she lasts and she makes a go of it, then good for her. Like, I thought Rosie O'Donnell did a great job. But, you know, people think it's easy because the people who do it well make it look easy. And it can't be that easy. Right. So if she makes it, great. Anyway, so Ellen has a talk show, very successful, that she's made happen.
I read that there's still backlash from...
There is. I'll get to that in a second.
Oh, you have that. Okay.
A little. Just, a little. So it's not clear if it's guests who have possibly been exposed. I don't know what guidelines they're operating under on the show. Justin Bieber, Bryan Cranston, Diane Keaton, Alison Brie, Lil Nas X, they've all been in the studio with her in the past week.
Oh, boy.
And that is not the only bad news for Ellen. Sources inside the show say they are losing advertisers, struggling to book talent, and it's all because of the negative press that she got over the summer. So she's got a ways to go before she's sort of back at where she was. It's not gone away quite the way she hoped, I guess. Speaking of COVID, Carrie Ann Inaba, she's one of the Dancing with the Stars judges.
All right.
She has also tested positive. She says she's just dealing with aches and pains. It doesn't sound like she has a horrible case, but is that show still going on? Like, last I heard was Carol Baskin got dropped off. I don't really follow Dancing with the Stars, so maybe they're mid-season.
I actually have zero idea. Yeah. And I try to pay attention to stuff, and I have no idea.
And I don't know if they were doing in-person judging or social distance judging or whatever, but Carrie Ann Inaba has it, and that doesn't bode well.
They're on semifinals right now.
Oh, they are. Oh, it's still going on.
Yes.
All right.
Quietly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, I mean, network TV in general is doing things quietly these days because nobody's... When's the last time you heard someone raving about a network TV show? It's been a while, it feels like, doesn't it?
Well, Grey seems to have...
That continues.
...made the news a little bit. But yeah, it's not the same. No.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that, if anything... There are a bunch of people who got caught sleeping. A bunch of network executives that got caught sound asleep while cashing checks. And now they're like, oh, whoops.
What now? Yeah, their business model is not looking quite as secure as it was even just a couple of years ago. It's pretty...
Well, think about at a time when... I mean, look, I think CBS, is that where Big Brother was? Not Big Brother, Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
Like they had fire on their hands. That thing was a hot show. That was like the last really big, maybe not the last really big, but that was a huge sitcom for CBS. If you remember, NBC had a lock on all of the sitcoms for a while there.
They did. Yeah.
The Must I don't TV know. They don't have, they sure can't point to one night where all of these big stars are on and doing their, you know, hit shows.
Right. Well, when I think of NBC now, I think of This Is Us. Like, that's a bona fide hit show, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even like Modern Family, that's over, but...
That's over, right.
It seemed to wane in its later days as these other ways of watching TV came up. And the thing is, a lot of people don't want to watch one show. They don't want to tune in at 8:30 and watch the show they like. They want to wait till the whole season drops on Netflix or whatever.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
And that's the other thing is, like, it is actually, even as I'm browsing for stuff, like, you know, you'll talk into your remote and it'll pop up something. It's like, you can watch that. You can watch one episode for free. And then you got to subscribe to this thing you've never heard of to see the rest of whatever it is. They actually will show you all these other, like, I already subscribed to at least 5 streaming things. And I don't want to subscribe just because of this one show I want to watch. I'll just skip the show. So I think it's going to come down to, I don't know, maybe some of these places are going to sort of just eat each other. You know what I mean? So that there'll be a few, there'll be like a Netflix, a Hulu, you know, and whatever
Body
else.
The others up. Yeah, well, stuff does tend to consolidate, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And I think that right now the networks, ABC has Disney, right? That's sort of their streaming.
Yes.
But the CBS All Access, I subscribe to it because I like the Big Brother stuff, and I like the, they have a Star Trek on there that's why I got it. But the NBC Peacock, no thanks. Not getting that.
Well, maybe somebody's into, I don't know.
Yes, people must be doing it.
I'll tell you this. There are shows that I've enjoyed where I've fallen behind and then fallen off just simply because I don't have time to watch TV. Not enough. So there are definitely shows that have thrown me off just for that reason alone where I'm like, I'll get back to it someday.
Right.
I don't have time for it right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a single person right now, maybe you do subscribe to like 20 different things because you're just sitting there and you know, that's how you're going to fill your day.
I was reading, I forget what I was reading. I see too many things, but it was about how learning how to cope with boredom is super important, and our kids can't because of the input available to them. And it's super true that even just a 10-minute block of time, we can fill with something.
Any one of us can. You've got it in your hand.
I have a 10-minute wait at the wherever. I'll just sit there and look at my pad, read news or watch a video or
listen to a book.
On one hand, that's cool because you never fret over being bored. On the other hand, we are incapable of sitting quietly.
Well, and we know how to cope with boredom because we grew up in the boring days.
Right.
And even for us, I'm not going to be bored. I refuse to be bored. So imagine someone who's never even had to be bored. Like, we had to be bored when we were kids. There just were times.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It's going to be, boy, this world. What a thing this is.
Anyway, I think it's a good problem, though, that there's too much entertainment. That's great. And just what you just mentioned is why. If you're a single person and you're not getting to go out and do things, having tons of cool stuff to watch is cool. Especially if you're an insomniac, which is another issue that I think a lot of people, it might lend to insomnia as well.
Right.
Like, that's sort of a...
The screen is keeping me awake.
I can't sleep, so I'll watch something.
Right.
I'm watching something, so I can't sleep.
Yeah. Try turning off the lights and closing your eyes. That is... I find that
but
that
I'm
is
alone,
one of the
then.
Best ways. Right.
I alone can't with stand myself.
Right.
No.
God, it is the worst. How I just, I'm like, shut up already, Sarah.
Uh-huh.
Just stop talking in your head. All right. Next thing. We were just talking about Ellen DeGeneres. She's got coronavirus.
Oh, yeah.
Turns out she's the secret buyer of Dennis Miller's $49 million Cape Dutch-style Montecito compound.
Mm.
So hers is either sold or it's on the market. She's got like a Bali-style Montecito compound. And I want to say she wanted like $30 million bucks or whatever for it. She was like, you know what? I like Dennis's place. I'm going to sell this and buy Dennis's. It's been revealed that she did they call it here a clandestine off-market deal. And $49 million bucks cash is what Ellen paid for Dennis Miller's place. I know. The place is, it's gorgeous.
She bought it outright?
Yep.
I'll take it. Let me
cash.
Write a check for that. You take checks?
Sure.
Here you
go. I'll take a check. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
I know. The place is beautiful. If you have a minute today, look up Dennis Miller's Cape Dutch style Montecito compound. It's enormous. I mean, there's so many buildings and pools and ponds and walkways and courtyards and Jesus. Speaking of real estate, Sean White has sold his Malibu mansion at a loss. You don't hear about that too much these days.
No. In fact, I've been reading that all of these bigger places, these higher priced real estate places are hot in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Like selling fast, no worries.
This place is gorgeous. Obviously it's ocean front. Let me see if I can find another picture of it. It's got a huge lawn that leads down. Sean White, let's see. He sold his Malibu Beach Craftsman for $8 million. He has like a $27.5 million compound because he bought this house and then he bought the adjoining properties.
Jesus.
The adjacent homes were offered separately, but at the... Oh,
what?
Because you said Jesus.
Right. Sorry. I didn't know I was going to slam on the brakes on the whole show. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
So he acquired these other properties. And so what he wanted to do was offer it as a compound. $27 million bucks takes all three. And everyone went, no, can I just have that one?
Right.
So I guess he sold the other ones off. it and now it looks like he lost maybe $2 million on this one.
Well, he must have been willing because he could have probably sat on him. I mean, what's your rush, dude? Where are you going?
Oh, not that much. Let's see. It's only a 2,175 square foot ranch style house. Let's see. No, that's one of the other ones. Never mind. It looks like he lost a little bit of money on the Malibu mansion. $8 million he sold it for. Seems like that's fine. I don't know. But he owned all the other houses around there too.
That's a pro skateboarder and pro snowboarder, everyone.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Sean White. He's the red-haired guy. You remember from the Olympics a while back.
The flying tomato.
Yes, exactly.
Which I don't think he goes by anymore, but.
No. And I wanted to do one more just quick real estate thing for you because I know you watch Blues Clues.
I do.
The original host was named Steve Burns.
Mm-hmm. And the original? Because there have been, we're on our third one now,
yes,
right?
This is okay. The original guy.
Got it.
At the height of his, he was the 96 to 02, he hosted the show.
Okay.
He moved into a converted garage and workshop in 2008. It's in Brooklyn, though. So once you fix that up, it's worth some moolah, and he just sold it for $3.4 million. And it's funny, because you look at the front of it, it looks like a garage workshop. Like he's tried to get some plants to grow on it. But it's between like a shingled place with awnings and, you know, kind of a stucco.
You know what's trippy? Happens in San Francisco too. A lot of places, they go out of their way to not look like a place for safety's sake.
Yep. It looks like
I had to run an errand in the city when I went up, and the place that I had to go had no sign, no signage. Mm-hmm. No, there you go. Like that's supposed to look. Yeah, they just don't want no trouble. The cities are dealing with people breaking into their stuff. Oh, my God.
That's what it looks like inside. That's
amazing.
That's the garage inside.
Yes. Good for him.
It is. It's stunning. So, you know what? Put this one and the Sean White one and the Ellen DeGeneres one up on Facebook.
So that guy must do something else because I don't think you make a fortune doing Blue's Clues, right?
I want to say he's a producer on that show.
Okay.
But I'm not positive. But for him. But on the other hand, if he's bought this house, let me see if it says when he bought it. Well, it was completed in 08. So I'm not sure when he, or, you know, the turning of it from a garage into a fabulous place.
So he's been living in it this whole time?
He's been living in it this whole time. And so he just sold it. It's fabulous. I'm looking at these pictures. It's crazy, crazy great. Anyway, there you go. We'll put those up on Facebook. What's coming up in the news, Vin?
Well, my IT department has been hard at work fixing my printer problem, so I'm not really sure what's coming up in the news, but I can guarantee you I'll be here on the other side of these messages and a song with some news on Alice.
Sarah and Vinny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity? Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media? Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.